Today's scripture reading is from Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you are here in this place. We thank you that it's not only in this place, but that in Christ you have committed yourself to walk with us. And so today, Lord, I pray for just a deep spiritual understanding that God, you are with us and you love us. You long to guide us in a good and wonderful way. Holy Spirit, we pray that you just help us to overcome our barriers of skepticism, stubbornness, disbelief. We pray that you would give us a heart of faith and hope in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Today, I am very excited about sharing an important topic with you today. A lot of things about it, and I encourage you afterwards, if you have, you know, questions, obviously I'm not going to cover everything today, but if you have questions, feel free to talk to me. I love talking about these kind of things, so I'm here for you, and I want to help you in any way I can. And so today I want to start the message by sharing about a very interesting person. I came across this documentary called Journey into the Unknown, and it's about a Dutch missionary. Her name is Hanneke van Dam, and basically, she was working as a child psychologist in Amsterdam for most of her life. And then one day, she was convinced that she heard God's voice to give up her job, to leave everything behind, and move to Mongolia. And she didn't even know where Mongolia was on the map. Can you imagine? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a little snippet of that documentary that talks about her life.
You know, I never know where I'm going. I really made a decision, and I said, I really know. I gave my life to Jesus, you know, and I said, you can bring me wherever you want. But of course, sometimes it's really frightening because I don't know where I will be in a few months. And I'm really a relationship person, you know, and for me, saying goodbye is really hard. And sometimes when I'm at one place a longer time, it's different, you know. You feel like you settle down. But lately, I really sense how God is stirring my heart. I see this harvest, you know. I see these people. And I know I just live once. And I wouldn't like to stand for God later and say, hey, I knew, but I didn't want to leave my comfort zone, but of course, sometimes I think it cost me everything. I never regretted going to Mongolia, and I never regretted living this lifestyle. But one thing I said, God, you didn't tell me that it would change my whole heart. I felt suddenly I can't go back, you know. It's not, I have been living like that for a few years, and I cannot just, okay, now it's enough, I go back. I felt like I can't go back anymore because it changed me so deep within that I wouldn't fit in. It's not, I'm not saying I can't go back to Holland. It's more, I'm not the one I used to be. And that was kind of a shock for me.
Hallelujah.
I said, God, you ruined me, you know. You ruined me. I'm not the same anymore. It just all went so deep, and it changed me so deeply that there's nothing I can do about it, you know.
When we hear from Hanneke Van Dam, who left a successful career behind, to go all the way to Mongolia, can you imagine what that'd be like? To leave the success and the comforts that you have, and now to choose a life to help the hurting. And she says something very interesting. She says that her life is now, quote, addicted to following God's will. Quote, it changed me so deep within that I wouldn't fit in back home in Holland. I'm not the one I used to be. I said, and she mentioned this in the video, God, you ruined me. I'm not the same anymore. It all went so deep and changed me so deeply that there's nothing I can do about it. Close quote. When you hear those words, what do you think? Some of us might be scared about this radical obedience to God. This woman sounds reckless to me. No thanks. Some of us are terrified to think that God could yank us out of our lives and go into the unknown, where it could be dangerous, where we could be forgotten. And if that's the case, then maybe it's better not to ask what God wants, because it seems like what God wants is not very nice. However, some of us might hear this and think, that is real life. That woman lives with a purpose. At the end of the day, she says, I have made meaning out of my life. I have done something significant. I want to live my life like that. But maybe you're thinking, but you know, I don't know how I could be like that. How did she hear God's voice? How did she get led by the Spirit to do that? That sounds wonderful, inspirational, but I'm still here. And so today, what I want to talk about is, what does it mean to follow God's will, to follow God's desire? What do those words mean? And I think I'm just going to throw out a qualifying little definition for today, is that it's to follow our created intention and purpose for our life. How do we figure out what God intended and created us to do? How do we follow through doing that? And I suppose you could take it far enough. How do you find the meaning of life? And you know, this is a very ambitious sermon, as you can see from the start, right? Obviously, I'm not going to answer everything, but let me throw out some ideas here first. Many of us think it's reserved for a super spiritual few. But I want to tell you that this is actually for everyone. God longs to guide everyone into the life that he's intended for you. And he longs to show you what his will is, what his heart is, what his desire is for your life. And I want to also encourage you to know that this will and desire is not a difficult thing. It's a thing that you were made to do. And when you find it, you're like, this is what I'm made for. This is good. This blesses me. That is what God wants to do to you. He doesn't want to give you a journey or a pathway that's going to make you like regret it and be bitter and complaining the whole way through, but I'm doing this for Jesus. God's not honored by that. God longs to put you in the place where once you start doing it, you're like, yeah, this is what I was made to do. But there's a problem. What is our main problem in getting in touch with God's desire for our life? What is the problem that we face being led by the Spirit? And if I can sum it up as succinctly as I can, it comes down to broken relationship with God. God longs to guide us in the way that he intended for our life, but because of our broken relationship, we're either uninterested or unaware of what God wants for us. And you know, this is not a new problem. This is actually the whole drama between God and humanity. And basically, the best way I can sum this up is the Trinity. And we're thinking, wow, this is a lot. And today, I have a little insert, because there is a lot, I guess, here. So to kind of summarize some of the things, we have this little green insert you can look at. And on the back, it's blank. And I encourage you, if you have any thoughts to come to mind, to write on it and to think about it. But you know, a lot of times when we talk about the Trinity, we're thinking about, oh man, this is going to be like one of those like boring theological lessons. But what is the Trinity? If I can say it kind of simply again, the Trinity is like a description of how God has reached out to us to restore that broken relationship. And at the end, I'm going to show you how the Trinity relates to being led by God and finding His will. And basically, in the beginning, it started off with this. Our Heavenly Father intended for us to be in unbroken relationship with Him. He created us with a purpose to hear His voice, to love Him, and He would love us back, an unbroken relationship. There was nothing to separate us. We were free to love Him, and He freely loved us, and He loved us very deeply. We were created to know and to do God's will. It wasn't supposed to be this mysterious thing that we kind of try and do all these Christian seminars and try and figure it out by doing these complex steps. We were to live in relationship. But rather than freely choose God, we chose to choose ourselves. We chose, rather than to choose God's way and God's intentions, we decided to choose our own intentions, our own ways. We chose to rebel against God's love and serve ourselves rather than God or other people. And it's that decision to break away from that. That's what we call sin. And so with the Father who wanted to love us, we broke off relationship with Him. How do we bring it back? The Father sent the Son because He loved us so much. In that broken relationship that was broken by our sin, we were cut off from the life that we were intended for in communion with God. We didn't care about what God's will was. We didn't care about His direction. We were much more interested in what we wanted for ourselves. Maybe we'd call on God, but we'd only call on God when we were in trouble. And then we get mad at God when He didn't answer our prayers quite the way that we wanted it. But all along, the amazing thing is that God still loved us so deeply. He loved us so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to us. And the only way that this divide could be repaired is that Jesus dies on the cross. As the penalty for our sins, He took it upon Himself. And as a result, He mended the divide, and He brought us together. We can now have unbroken relationship because of the Son. The Father sent the Son, and we're thinking, wow, that's great. Now we can have an unbroken relationship with Him. But still, there's something missing. We don't know what to do now. Now that we're forgiven by God, what do we do now? And that's why the Father, who sent the Son sent the Holy Spirit. And because of that, the Holy Spirit now walks with us and teaches us and instructs us daily. This is not a superstitious thing. Things that are happening in like the lives of people like Henneke van Dam is through the power of the Holy Spirit that is very alive in our world today. I really do feel that, you know, when Aaron was sharing about in worship today, and he felt that burn on his heart to pray, I really do feel that the Holy Spirit was just saying, hey, Aaron, look this way instead of that way. You know, when I'm preaching sometimes, like, I really do feel that God is leading me to preach about certain things. And, you know, I know it sounds very crazy and almost superstitious, but the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit is present in our day to day. The Father loves us, Christ saved us, and the Spirit walks with us. So what now? Paul says in Galatians, what we just read today, he says, live and walk in the Spirit. You know, what Jesus did for you, He freed you. That's wonderful. You are now free. But freedom isn't about just doing anything. If you just do anything, you're going to end up in doing those things that got you into sin in the first place. You know, I talked to young people today, and we asked, like, what is freedom? And they say, like, do whatever you want. And I say, you know what? If I tell you guys to do whatever you want, you'll probably just end up doing all the same things. You know, I talk to people on vacation. I say, what are you going to do? You can do whatever you want. They're all on Facebook. Never fails. And I say, you are free to go to any website on the internet. They all go to Facebook. They're enslaved. They talk to me. I've spent hours on this one page. I don't know why. I just keep updating, seeing what my friends are doing. I don't know why, but I just want to know. Click, click, click. You know what real freedom is? Freedom is about being free to choose what you were meant to be. We know that we're not meant to be doing certain things, certain habits, but we keep going back to them. Yeah, no one made you do it. Your parents didn't make you do it. School didn't make you do it. Your work didn't make you do it, but you're still doing it. You're still trapped. And Paul is saying, what Jesus did was he set you free. If you want to be free, be the person that I've created you to be. Don't use your freedom to keep sinning and just following your own desire, because that's really just slavery, dressed up in a bow. You thought freedom was to do whatever you want, but all it did was bring you back to this tangled mess of addictions, dissatisfaction, and selfishness. That's what Paul would call living by the flesh. That is not how God created you to be. You're created to live in God's love and living according to his way. And you're to use your freedom to choose that. That's what Paul calls living by the Spirit. Saying no to the desires of the world and the flesh, and saying yes to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That is real freedom. If you really meet someone who is led by God, who is really just enraptured in the love of God, free to live their life, say, God, whatever you want, anytime. I have never met anyone like that and walked away thinking, wow, that guy is trapped. That guy is really enslaved. Man, no thanks. I always walk away just amazed by the sense of peace that they have, that they're not clinging to the things of the world and the concerns and the stresses that I often get myself caught up in. I always walk away thinking, like, that person has discovered what true freedom is in Christ. And it's not a secret that God put in, like, a hidden book in the Bible. It is plain to see in Galatians. Live by the Spirit. And this is the final message I want to give on the Holy Spirit just in this month. I'll be talking about it a lot throughout the year. Don't worry. But the Spirit longs to make us free people. To not be led by ourselves, but to be led by the Spirit. That is what God intended for us. From the beginning, it is our sin that got in the way. But how do you do that? And that's what I kind of wanted to focus on for the rest of this message. I know a lot of people, when I preach about the Holy Spirit, you're thinking like, oh, you know, it's like that thing, the hand you blow in your hand, you can't feel it. I mean, how do you do that? And I just want to share some things. It's not an all-comprehensive thing, but this is what I want to do. And the first thing I want to say is that we must submit to the Holy Spirit. We must make places in our life where we can be open to God's leading. And we want to be praying when we do these times of like opening our heart to God. We don't want to be praying, God, we want you to change like this. I want to change your mind so that you give me what I want. But have you ever tried to pray and say, God, I'm going to spend this time with you. I'm not going to change you. Change me. What would you like to say to me today? And people are like, whoa, that sounds really super spiritual. And actually, we're going to do it right now. Are you ready for this? I'm going to spend just a couple of seconds, okay? Whatever you feel comfortable with, if you want to close your eyes, if that helps you concentrate more, or just calm your spirit. And we're not just doing open meditation, New Age meditation, and just let whatever comes into your head. But we're going to say, Holy Spirit, right now, and join me if you want to even open your hands as just a prayerful symbol to God, saying, God, here I am. Join with me right now, just for a moment of silence, and say, join with me in this prayer, saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me. I am your servant, and I am here for you. I thank you, God, for your grace in your name. Amen. And so when you did that, some of us might be like, you know what? Nothing happened. Some of us were expecting this big kind of sign from the sky to speak to us. And you know, that's not really how the Holy Spirit works. In fact, it is as natural as breathing. Some of us actually might have been surprised when you were quiet that actually you did feel something on your heart, that maybe something was coming to the surface. Some of us maybe were very distracted and you thought about all the things I need to do once I leave those doors. This is what I need to do. Man, when I get back home, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I just want to address a lot of those things. You know, sometimes, and some people say, this is very boring. And you know, I want to say that sometimes when we're doing this, that's okay. Sometimes I don't think we're as honest in our prayers as God is honest in our prayers. And what I mean by that is sometimes, I remember once, I felt really bad. There was a time in my life where I was just falling asleep all the time when I prayed. I just closed my eyes and I'm like, wow, this is really comfortable. And I'm like, whoa, that wasn't very spiritual for a pastor. Oh, sorry, God. You know, and then I shared and just kind of like close corners with my mentor, like, you know, I want to share something. I fall asleep all the time in prayer when I try and open myself to the Spirit. And the mentor was like, don't you think that's telling you something? Maybe God's saying is like, you're not resting. And you feel like, you know, this work of prayer is such like a laborsome thing. And then, oh God, I have to do all these things to like get to know you. And it's 15 minutes. You know what? This prayer doesn't do anything. The mentor might go, don't you think that's telling you something? Maybe you need to just clear out your life a bit better. Get back to God. You don't need to come before someone in conversation and say, okay, we have 5 minutes. I'm going to tell you everything I need, and I want you to talk back to me when I'm finished talking. Okay, go. Have you noticed that we do this in prayer? Lord, amen. What are you going to say, God? Come on, bring it to me. That's not prayer. We are here to be open. And then sometimes, and we were sharing this in discipleship class, sometimes we're praying for these things, and we're just not feeling it. And then one of our members said, you know, I notice when I pray, I keep praying for this one thing, but I just don't seem to get into it. But I feel like whenever I'm praying, this other thing comes into my mind, and I can't get it out of my mind. It keeps distracting me. And I kind of suggested, do you think maybe then that God is actually wanting you to pray for this, not that? Have we really gone in with the Spirit saying, like, open hands and saying, God, I submit to you. I am open to you today. God wants you to set the stage for what we want to pray about today. And you'd be amazed at how much more significant the prayer is. If we said, God, I'm not going to pray about what I want, but God, speak to me today what I need. And so the first thing we want to do in prayer is that we submit. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. God, you do it your way. And you'd be surprised at how much prayer will change, how much prayer will become much more of a living thing, a living conversation. And for some of us, maybe, and you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, is like, I've been doing this week, and you know, God was just saying in my prayers when I was trying to do this, I was thinking about a million things at once. And God was saying, like, I think this should tell you something, Sam. You're thinking about so many things, you can't even think about one thing, me. Time to clear the stage. Think on me. And that could be a process. And it's worth it. The next thing I want to share is that we must test it. Maybe some of you, as your hands are open, you felt this whisper and you said, you know that beautiful girl who's sitting two rows in front of you in the pews? I want you to marry her. Wow, that's great. Okay, now everyone's looking. Okay, who's two in front of me? Don't look. Okay. That's where we get dangerous. Some of us feel very spiritual. We had this time of prayer and we felt like God is leading us to do something and we feel really inspired by the Holy Spirit and we just run off and do it. And often that prayer we hear from like young people, and I want to encourage you, is that whatever we get led by, we need to test it. You know, yes, you can say like, oh, you know what? God told me to tell you that you should do this in your life. But I want to tell you is that the Holy Spirit is not reserved for the pastor, just for a couple of spiritual few here. We read in the Word that the Holy Spirit is given to all believers. And so you feel something, you go to that other person. If that other person who has the Holy Spirit as well doesn't feel the same conviction, I think you should stop and think. Maybe that's not what God was leading. Community is important. All Christians are given the Holy Spirit to test and discern what we feel the Spirit is leading us to do. In your life, when you feel led to do something, did you just do it because you're inspired by yourself? Or did you go to mentors to pray through it? I've really valued this. You know, two people that I totally trust who are people of prayer are my parents. When I make major decisions, I'm praying about it. I feel led by the Spirit about it. But I often keep my parents just in check. And I say, hey, can you pray about this? And it's very interesting. They're having some very crazy things that I've thought of doing. One was about just dropping everything and going to England after seminary and studying music. I thought, my parents are never going to agree with this. That's too much money. Okay, well, we'll try this. And then I went to my parents. I was very sheepish about it. And I said, Dad, I had this idea. I want to go to England because God's leading me to study music more. I know it's crazy. How about this? I'll work for a year, and then I'll save up money. And my dad just stopped right there. And he says, you know, we've been praying about this. We think you should go in 2 weeks. Okay. That was a real surprise. And then as I prayed about it, I really felt like God was saying, like, you know, Sam, sometimes it's good to do it slow, but you know what? Pray through this. I really felt like God was saying, this is the year that's really important. And if you look at my life, it was important that I did that very quickly and not waste time with that, because I had to study a lot more after that. And you know, it's amazing that when you start getting people to pray for you and you kind of begin to discern together and say, hey, let's pray on this and let's just walk away from it. It's not like one person is going to have the voice of God, but all of us together in community, it's amazing how God begins to confirm things. You know, it's one thing to submit to God and hear the voice of God for yourself personally, but you also need to hear it in community. The next thing I want to say is that, yes, you can have community on the same page. You can have your own conviction on the same page. Does that mean we should go ahead and do it? And I want to say no, because you know what? A lot of cults have started that way. A lot of well-meaning people who are searching after God, and they all felt this is the right thing to do. And we have seen in the news the great distortions of Christianity that have happened that way. And what's the next thing we want to do? We want to also test it with the Word. I don't care how convicted you are, and I don't care how many people agree with you in the Spirit, but if it disagrees with the Word, then we must stop and go back to submitting and hearing from God again. Is what we're being led to do, is it biblical? And then people say, oh, but Pastor Sam, that means I have to read the Bible and know the Bible. Yep, that's exactly right. We must be people of the Word, that we are able to go into the Word and test it, and not simply pull out the verses that we like, but to use it in a way that teaches us. And the last test is also, we can do all of these things, do very spiritual things, biblical things, but we also have to test what are the fruits of it. Have we been doing something? What does it produce in us? Does it produce the fruits that we read about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 26? Does it give us love, joy, peace? Does it give us righteousness? Or when we make this decision and we're led by it, does it stir in us anger, frustration, hatred? Then I'd say you need to stop. Because when you move in the Spirit, you produce the fruits of the Spirit. And that's how you test it. A lot of people have come to me with a lot of great ideas that sound very spiritual. But if it's dividing the church and making people hate each other, if it's causing dissension, if it's causing judgment, then I'd like to say to those very spiritual people is that I think you need to back up and think about the fruits of the Spirit. That's how we test. And I also want to say that testing, I want to encourage people that when you're following God, it doesn't always mean success in your own end if you make all these three things test successfully. It's a bit scary, but sometimes God does lead us to mysterious times of failure and frustration. I have biblical proof for this. It's the cross. Jesus came into this world. He followed the Father's will to the T. But he still suffered on a cross. But Jesus would have been a total failure if he just stopped at the cross and gave up and said, oh man, I must have not been following God's will. I must not know how to do this. Instead, he trusted. He said, you know what? I'm following the Spirit. I've reached a major disappointment here. But the good news is that the resurrection came after the cross. There have been times where I have been led to major disappointments and frustrations. But as I continued to trust in him, he reminded me, Sam, hold on, resurrection is right around the corner. And the last thing I want to share, submit, test, last one, the hardest one, obey. Sometimes I have submitted myself to God, and I know in my heart this is what God is calling me to do. I test it, and I realize in community this is good. The Word says this is good. The fruits that it will produce are good, and it is producing good things in me. But that doesn't mean anything until the last one. Will you obey it? And you know, as you were taking that time to pray, did God speak to your heart about something? And after testing it, and you feel like that is what God is speaking to you, and maybe even now there's been something in your life that God's been pressing on your heart to do, and it's just been sitting there. And let me tell you, it doesn't mean anything if you don't do it. James says, you know what that's like? That's like someone who looks in a mirror, looks at themselves, and they walk away, and then they forget who they are. It sounds ridiculous, but that's what we do when we hear the conviction and the leading of the Holy Spirit, but we don't do anything. It's not something that we compare with others. It's just a reality. Submit, test, and obey. I know when people hear this, they're going to think, wow, this is a lot of work. This is going to take a lot of time. And I want to say, yes, it will. Some people would like me as a pastor to give them like a 3-step program and say like, look, Pastor Sam, I did 1, 2, 3. It's still hard. Why isn't there a manual? If there was just a manual, then we wouldn't have a relationship with God. We wouldn't keep coming back to Him. Why can't we just do what we're feeling all the time? Then there's no relationship either. Because we're not just doing what God wants, we're doing what we want. It is a very difficult journey. And there is a lot of fear in it at times. But I want to encourage you that living a life led by the Spirit is what God has intended you to do. It is something beautiful and wonderful. Yes, we're not going to be like maybe Henneke Van Dam, or maybe we will be. And God is saying to us, it starts with being led by the Spirit. I want to challenge you today. Let's make spaces in our time, in our lives, to make time to be led by the Spirit, not by ourselves. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we come to you today, and we ask that you would be the leader of our lives. Lord, we know that you long to give us a life that you've intended for us and to bless us. And we pray that you'd make it a reality in us. Help us to not be led by our flesh, but be led by the Spirit. All for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.